Maybe because we're working more intensively, the people that are not used to come here regularly, studying, being on duties, being in the group, they feel themselves thrown out. There's need to somehow put together, make out of them groups, tens, that aren't so intensive as those that are here, suppose, but to make sure that they're not thrown out. Because the more we unite, those that feel themselves weaker, they feel themselves being abandoned, and then they leave. So please pay attention. This is in your favor. Those that are intense, make sure that due to your work, people do not fly out, because that will be a flaw. Preparation passage, Rabash, the social writings, make for yourself a Rav and buy for yourself a friend. Those people agreed to unite into a single group that engages in love of friends is that each of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all their views so as to receive the strength of love of others. There's a famous maxim by our sages: as their faces differ, their views differ. Thus, those who agreed among them to unite into a group understood that there isn't such a great distance between them in the sense that they recognize the necessity to work in love of others. Therefore, each of them will be able to make concessions in favor of the others, and they can unite around that.
Since they have one goal, the same goal, and this goal is higher than them, and this goal can unite them, then they have to make an action in order to help the goal itself to influence them. In this work, which is to connect as much as they can, and in different times, by different actions between them, every action that can bring them to connection, as much as they understand the advices to do so, then they awaken the goal to influence them, so that from that same place, from that same source, from En Sof, the light will come and connect them. Of course, that everyone are different, and we shouldn't touch or intervene in this difference. We only have to connect the sparks. Each and every one spark should connect to the other sparks until a flame will be created. And especially when these sparks will connect above the gaps between us, it will inflame the fire. And in our advancement, there's a special moment starting from which a person is awakened, meaning that he has different he's given different preparations in suffering and problems of different sorts that eventually make him more gentle in his thoughts and in his desire on the one hand, and on the other hand, that's let's say half of a degree, he's being brought from below up until half of the degree by suffering. By suffering, the part of the achap is being covered. Let's say more or less the part of the achap of the degree that he has to transcend to is covered by suffering, whereas the galgalta ve'enayim of the degree that he has to rise to is being shown as something he must attain, meaning half by suffering, half by his efforts. And this is how he comes to the next degree. Just like us, we were, just like it happened to us, during a lot of times we were in different searches, works, and spoke a lot about different things, and it all accumulated within us unto a certain degree, until half the degree, let's say. And the other half is when we're concentrating now in tens, where we force each other to work in this in practice. And of course that there's not a great urge or desire and there's a confusion and all and everything, but that's the other half that we ought to implement, whereas the first half of the degree is consisted of our previous exertions, all of our efforts when we tried this and we tried that, during the study, the dissemination, the duties, and different efforts, but we've came to a state when also the world is playing a crucial role here in this preparation. So we've reached a state in which we're compelled to work in the group practically, and thus we've started to speak about it and to penetrate it between us. And the main work in the group, as Rabash says here, is to connect the sparks which are the yearning for the next degree without noticing anything else besides that. Everything else has to remain opposite, contradicting, that especially, as Rabash says, on top of all the problems, all crimes will be covered by love. Everything will be directed towards bringing contentment to the Creator. This bestowal will be directed towards the final goal, to which we all agree in advance. A person can never be objective, he can never be neutral, independent upon any circumstance, because one's evil inclination is evil from his youth. It's a complete desire, and that desire cannot exist without a previous depiction. The desire was before, without a previous depiction, only during its creation, when it was existence from absence. But later, the light that is passing through desire and develops the desire through the four first states, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, depicts within the desire different kinds of first discernments. And then there's a development, there's a breakage, there are a shimot, and we're already found in a development from below up, from bottom up, and that we have nothing new within us, rather the same Rishimot are awakening more and more, and we have to realize them, meaning to begin with. Of course, there's nothing new here. Thus it is written, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is a result of a broken Rishimot, and no one can be free from that. We are all activated by the inner Rishimot and by the external light that influences us. And thus, there's nothing here that depends upon a person, rather, besides hastening one's development and to feel his development as desirable and not as something that is being forced upon him, something unpleasant. And by doing so, he refers himself to the Creator, by thanking the Creator, by bringing him contentment. Just like children, let's say parents and their sons, let's say there's a very bad child who doesn't want to listen to his parents, so his father, still by blows, by sufferings, bends the child, and eventually the child comes to that form, that desired form. But does this bring happiness to the parents? No. Does it bring happiness to the child? No. It only evokes hatred between them. Thus, if we try to be good children, good boys, then this is for our benefit, for the benefit of the Creator, and we will draw happiness from it and bring contentment to Him. This refers to the fact that no one is free from the Rishimot, from the states that he's undergoing. And thus, the group is important to us because by that group we can realize ourselves. And truly, whoever does not wish to realize himself in a purposeful manner does not need a group. It doesn't need to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. What else does he have from it? As Baal HaSulam says, why should I care how many angels are there in the sky and what are the names? Whether the Torah was given in order to change one's nature, to correct it. This is why then we need a group. And in the group, we have a unity, a connection. At our goals and building the kli in order to bring contentment to the Creator, just like a good child with respect to his father, is happens in the group. This happens in the connection, and a connection can be created only between equals. We're never equal. Thus, as we've read in preparation for the lesson, we equivalize by having the same goal. And thus, we are being collected this way from above by the forces of nature, by the forces of the Creator, the forces of the light, which collects us all and brings us to this one group. And later, we have to make efforts. And he says that we can make efforts in the following way. I cannot be equal to the others. The goal is equal, correct. It's the same goal for everyone. But how do we connect if we're different? So each and every one of us has to learn from everyone else as much as he can to accept everyone as the greatest in the generation and also to bestow upon everyone. Because everyone lack mood, the greatness of the goal. Good mood, which is the greatness of the goal. So in this way, when I'm above everyone and another time I'm below everyone, we come to an equal ground between, mutual ground between us, and that's how we connect. And when we systematically centralize our efforts around the group, we can hasten times greatly and reach an opening of our eyes very soon indeed.
A friend is asking, is it possible to scrutinize what is bestowed from a friend who is equal and a friend who is greater than I am, and what is the equal work with both.
I don't understand. I relate to them this way, that they're all great, or one of them, or the other. Doesn't matter. And another time I treat them as if I'm greater than them. If I have the chance to make a certain act of bestowal to bring, to realize the goal and to reach the level of friends. So there are times when you behave this way and times in which you behave differently. And the most important thing is that if I'm found outside of them on my own, then I should always awaken in me to grow within me the relate my attitude towards them as to the closest to me, the most important to me, the dearest and the most precious to me, because by them I am able to realize my life. Yes, Jacob from Germany is asking, how can we always keep the equality between the friends? You cannot do it. But once they're great and once they're small, as students or as the greatest of the generation, eventually it turns out that they're equal. We cannot find the exact equality. It is something that is hidden from us. A student is asking, how should I see a friend greater than me constantly? Well, first of all, the fact that I depend upon him is already greater than me. The goal that I want to attain depends upon him. So he's already great. That's first. Secondly, he's great because the Creator brings me to be near him, near the friend, so that by him I will reach the goal. Thirdly, I appreciate the part of God within him. The Creator is found within him and awakens him, and the Creator is the one who is leading him towards the goal. So I appreciate this. Not the beastly part within him, rather the divine part within him. And it is yet to be revealed to you what is truly that concept of a friend. When we will start seeing the truth, we'll see how it looks like.
Yaakov from Germany is asking, how do I correct my sight or my vision when I see a flaw in a friend?
You have to evoke love. You have to evoke love. It's not just written that love covereth all crimes. That's it. You don't have to start considering to which extent is smarter than me or I'm smarter than him. Their love should come first. And later, I'll tell you. Later, the lesson has to start from each and every one of us starting to see that he sits between great people, very important people, and that he feels them as truly huge, humongous, the greatest of the generation. He's like an infant suddenly found between them as if accidentally. And then he is really trembling from their greatness. I'm telling you the truth, the true sensation, the true inner sensation. This is how one should feel. And then you can externally disregard others to start playing an opposite game. Just like the Creator does the opposite to us, we do the opposite with respect to him and act differently externally. But that's something we'll learn later when we'll be strong. Otherwise we'll be attracted after this disregard. Yes.
Regarding this point, he says here that since if he has decided to accept another as a friend and is working on loving the friend, what does it mean to work with yourself on loving the friend?
You need to depict to yourself that person as important, as beautiful, as special, as everything. Why do you love him? Why will you love him? You first need to think about the reason. What kind of a reason can there be for the love of others? I hate the others. No, I'm not even indifferent to the others. I just hate that friend, and that's it. If we'll go straight to the point. How do I check this? No, let's see if he will win $1 million in the lottery. And we'll see how I will envy him, how much I'll hate him. Correct? Correct. What does it mean that I'll hate him? It would have been much better if he wouldn't have won that sum. Correct? Okay, that's enough. That's a very simple examination. Now, you won't think this way about your child, right? You won't. So, that's it. Now, what was the question again?
And he works on himself in order to love him.
Okay, how do I work on loving him? I hate each and every one in the world who's outside of me. I'm awakened to attain a certain goal, and that's called the Creator. I want to reach the Creator, to reach that goal. Doesn't matter who's the Creator. Just to know, to have the powers, to have the knowledge, doesn't matter what. There's a certain mountaintop that I have to reach. That is more important to me than these entire life. It's all rubbish. I don't want it. I want to be there. A pure egoistic desire. In order to reach that mountaintop, to be there, there's a condition that I have to love the one who's hated by me. To love the one I hate. The Creator gradually explains to me. He tells me, you can't love me. If I will reveal myself to you a bit, you will immediately hate me. That's your nature and that's my nature. He's telling me. And they are opposed. And this opposition, this contradiction creates a repulsion within you that might even lead to hatred. Thus, so that we won't come to such relations, we won't reach these relations, you, for the time being, have to study how to improve yourself in a different state, in a different situation. With the others, there's the world before you, there's the still, the vegetative, the living, and the human beings. Try to arrange your attitude towards them, and I will help you, he's telling me. I will give you a force that as much as you will exert yourself, you will try to love them on top of your hatred towards them, that you disregard everything and you're indifferent to everything, you would have burned the whole world down. That's I did it deliberately. But once you want to transcend it, I will help you so that you will truly be able to transcend yourself. You just try and I'll help you. That's how we'll change your previous nature to a second nature, and that second nature won't annul your previous nature. Rather, you will build your clothing this way. You will build your form just like mine. You will resemble me. Then you'll be able to get to know me. We'll be able to connect, to unite, to cling one to another. So I have placed that hate, the environment that you hate. And once you try to reach, to love your environment, I'm helping you so that your exertion will truly be realized. And then if you reach the smallest extent of love towards them, that you come, not even love, but to not, just to not harm them, when you've already neutralized your ego, I already immediately reveal myself. And you won't harm me any longer. And we can already be in a certain proximity and we can get to know each other more and to be acquainted. That's what the Creator did. This depiction doesn't sound that well. No, none. Use something else.
In my mind, I can understand that I can love the friend because he is goal-oriented, targeted. This is something that's easy to understand.
Friends, if you don't think about the lie that reforms, in all of your efforts, in all of your plans, in all of your actions, that this is what you anticipate for. Rather, you think that your actions will bring about change. This is a mistake that is truly crucial. It is a sign that you don't add to your actions the goal, the Creator, and His help. And this light that changes you, and then out of all of your efforts, you all in all advance in a path called a path of suffering. Whether the path of Torah is called when I've created Torah as a spite, because the light in it reforms. When in each and every action you intend, you anticipate, you await for the light that will come by your efforts. If you don't throw your if you're not waiting for this to happen, that you, if you don't throw your fish hook, this fishing rod, to, I don't know, hunt this or to catch this, to pull this on you strongly. If you don't have such a relation to the action, then this action comes via the path of suffering and not the path of Torah. Good. I was able to express it. That's good. Yes, Gil.
Rav, to what extent should we motivate the friends that it's kind of hard for them to unite, to make the effort? Because in the past you said not to put pressure. On the other hand, each one should try and the group should try and help me to look for the light, because it's not something that comes naturally. Between us too, we have to pressure each other in terms of...
Question, one sentence.
To what extent to put pressure on the friends to help them work in this direction?
First of all, give them an example as much as you can. Did you pray that this example will influence them? I'm starting to speak slightly differently than before because you can already activate yourself this way. An example. I pray that it will influence them. First of all, there's inner work. Only then you are allowed to address the friends and to start to somehow awaken this in the form of love. It's a very important article. Some of you know it, some of you may not know it. We truly relate to everything as is new. You need to relate to, and they shall be new in your eyes. It's very important for us to understand this article, because the letters the article is talking about are the letters of work. These are the kelim, our vessels. And the letters are our connection to the inner qualities of the soul, that by the letters we express its character, its qualities, its attributes, its actions. So it's a very important article. It's a very important article. Go ahead.
Item 22. In the beginning, Rav Imnon HaSaba said, we have found in the words, Bereshit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created thee, an inverse order of letters. First it writes, Bet, and then Bet, Bereshit bara, then it writes, Aleph, and Aleph, Elokim et. When the Creator wished to make the world, all the letters were still hidden, and 2,000 years prior to the creation of the world, the Creator was observing and playing with the letters. Explanation. He has two questions. The one, why did the letter Aleph Bet come in an inverse order in the beginning of the Torah? First Bet and then Aleph. Secondly, why were those letters doubled, first the two letters Bet of the two words Bereshit bara, and then the two letters Aleph of the two words Elokim et?
It seems as if it's really nonsense. What is he talking about? So there's Bet, there's Aleph. What's up? But if we start to relate to these letters as to vessels by which the Creator creates the world, meaning that he relates to the desire to receive and thinks how to format that desire, how to arrange this desire. So thus, it's important. Why did he start from the beginning? Why did he start from the second letter, from the letter Bet, and not from Aleph? What does this imply on? That this the world is not really developing according to the correct order? So then we already have an issue here that we need to clarify. If it's an opposite order, Aleph and Bet are really opposite letters, and as much as they're close but different, it adds even more to the gap between them, meaning he already might touch here about the depth of creation, inquire the depth of creation.
He answers, when the Creator Bina wished to make the world to elicit Zon, the world, the letters, Kelim of Zon, were still hidden, included in Gar, Abba Ve'ima, and were not known. Also, Chokhman Binar called 2,000 years. Before the world was created, the letters of Zon were included in Chokhman Binah. This is why this is Kalelut, inclusion of Zon in Chokhmah Binah, is referred to as 2,000 years prior to the creation of the world. The Creator was observing and playing with the letters, since then Zon were regarded as Man in 2,000 years, which are Chokhmah Binah, and the Man always caused delight in the Upper One. This is why it was said that at that time, when they became Man in Chokhmah and Binah, the Creator was looking and playing with the letters. 23. When he wished to create the world, all the letters came before him, from last to first.
You probably heard such stories, or read about such stories, that 2,000 before the creation of the world, the Creator used to play with the Torah. No, you didn't study in normal schools. There are such stories. So that's what he's talking about. That the Torah, all the light, was in the degree of Abba Ve'ima. I wanted to tell you something new about the story you've heard in your childhood.
23. When he wished to create the world, all the letters came before him from last to first. The letter Taf went in first and said, O Lord of the world, it is good for you to create the world with me, for I am the seal on your ring, which is Emet, truth, meaning the last letter in the word Emet. You're called by the name Truth. It is becoming of the king to begin with the letter Emet and create the world with me. The Creator replied to her, "You're calmly and upright, but you're unfit to create the world with you, since you are to be inscribed in the foreheads of men of faith who will keep the Torah from Aleph to Taf, from A to Z. And in writing, you, they will die. Moreover, you are the seal of death, since Taf is the last letter in the word Mavet, death, as well. And because you are so, you are unfit for the word to be created with you." She promptly departed.
Well, I think I see that you're enjoying the story. Yes? What? How can it really interest people?
First of all, I like that she immediately left, immediately felt, understood. There's plenty of emotions, feelings in this story.
Of course, because this attribute, when it thinks that it came to create the whole, that the whole world can be advanced towards the goal and improved, because of her powers, and suddenly she's being told that you bring death and not life. The opposite. It's such a tragic thing that cannot be compared to anything else. Instead of Aleph, Taf, meaning the last letter. And when that letter says, "No, but how can that be? You're called under my name." And he says, "Yes, on the one hand. But on the other hand, even though I'm called, you are used in order to express my name, you bring death." And the gap is so huge, but we are able to bridge.
But the conversation is between who and what?
Between attributes, qualities. Attributes by which the desire to receive, by clothing in them, the desire to receive can reach the level of the Creator. That's what we're talking about. These attributes are from Bina to Malchut. Malchut is a point. Is a dot. What kind of attributes can Malchut receive, and in which way? From Bina, in order to eventually reach a state in which Malchut will be like Keter. This is the topic. That's the topic of the whole of creation, of the whole correction, and the topic of this article also. Here we spoke in the previous article, there's a division between Gar and Zat and Atzilut, between Atika, Rechan, Pinama, Ve'ima, Zon, that rise there by the souls, that rise Man from Bia de Pruda and so on, from Bia of separation and so on. We spoke about the fact that the mother brings, gives the force to Malchut, and by doing so, and as a result, Malchut is sanctified, is advancing, acquiring the attributes of bestow, the Masach and the Or Chozer, the Masach and the returning light, and then it ascends and advances. Now we delve even deeper. By which attributes Malchut receives, she is sanctified, and in which order, because that's very important. Otherwise, why should we read the whole Torah and the order of the letters there and so on? Whether everything refers to a certain Malchut, Bet in Bereshit, from Bet in Bereshit to Lamed in the word Israel, and the last letter in the world. We need to accept all these letters, yes, in order to come to the end of correction. Why should it happen especially this way? And what does it mean to accept all the letters and how to put it? And this dock. That's something very crucial, essential, and important. Well,
explanation. When he began to sort out the Zon, which is called the world, in order to create them, all the letters of Zon came before the Creator, starting with Taf, the last of all the letters, and ending with Aleph, the first of all the letters. They came from last to first, and not in their usual order in the Aleph Bet, because they came by the order of Man, in which they are arranged in the order of Taf, Shin, Reish, Kuf, inverse order of letters. And the order of Aleph Bet Gimel is the order of Mat, from above to below. But the order of the Man is always contrary to the order of the Mat. It is from below upward. This commentary on the letters is profound indeed. To somewhat clarify it, I will give you a short introduction into the vastness of this commentary. The creation of the world means improvement and existence in a way that the world can exist and complete the aim for which it was created. It is known that God has made them one opposite the other, opposite each force in Kedusha, holiness. The Creator made an equal force in the Sitra Achra, opposite from the Kedusha. As there are four worlds Abia of Kedusha, there are four worlds Abia of Tum'ah, impurity, opposite them. Hence in the world of Asiya there is no distinction between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him, as there is no distinction whatsoever between Kedusha and Tum'ah accordingly. How can the world exist? How can we tell good from evil, Kedusha from Tum'ah? However, there is one very important scrutiny, which is that another God is barren and does not bear fruit. Hence, those who fail in Him and walk by the path of Abia de Tum'ah, their source dries out and they have no blessing of spiritual fruits. Thus, they wither away until they shut completely. The opposite is those who adhere to Kedusha. Their works are blessed, as it is written, as a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season and its loaf does not wither.
There's a question here. I can worship a certain god or other gods or maybe a true god. How do I know? I judge by the one who will bring fruits and the one who won't, meaning I will exert myself for many years and only then I will see whether I really received fruits. Is it realistic in our short time here? Is it realistic that we'll behave this way, that this is what we'll do? Do you understand the question, right? So we'll see what he answers.
This is the only scrutiny in the world of Asiya, to know if he is in the Kedusha or to the contrary, as it is written. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Afterwards, it is written, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. Thus, it explains that it is impossible to tell one who serves the Creator from one who does not serve Him, but only in the blessing. This is the heart of this commentary of the letters, since all the letters came to create the world accordingly, according to the instruction of the degree in Kedusha that is unique to that letter. For the 22 letters are the elements of all the heads of the degrees in the four words Abia. Each of them appreciated its own merit, indicating that by obtaining her degree, the people of the world would be able to make the Kedusha prevail over the Klipot to reach the desired end of correction. But the Creator replied to each of them that opposite her is that same force in the Klipot as well. Hence, people will not obtain any scrutinies through her. Then came the bit whose instruction in her degrees is bracha, blessing, opposite which are no klipot whatsoever. Since another god is barren and does not bear fruit, then the Creator told her, indeed, I will create the world with you.
So it's clear what is going on. That from all the powers and all the patterns of the relation of the light towards the matter, there's a certain surface. And within the surface, the item Bet is carved. The light that comes through the letter Bet, let's say, and influences the matter, the desire to receive, is building the desire to receive the matter in a nice and correct way. the rest of the letters through which the light passes build in a desire to receive different attributes, but build two attributes, an attribute to bestow and an attribute of reception. Let's say only one letter gives a result, a sacred, a holy result for sure, a result of bestow. Maybe I can depict it this way. Yes, and what's next?
Since only in her was there scrutiny and distinction telling between a servant of the Creator and one who does not serve Him, since she did not have an opposite in the Sitra Achra. Hence, the world will indeed exist in her to scrutinize, to enhance the Kedusha over the Merkavot, chariots of the Tum'ah, until death is swallowed up forever and they arrive at the end of correction. We should also know the division of the 22 letters into 3 degrees, Bina, Zeran, Bina, and Malchut. This is so because above Bina there are no Kelim, which are the letters. Also, the 22 letters in Bina are called big letters. The 22 letters in Zeran Bin are simply called letters. And the 22 letters in Malchut are the small letters. Similarly, they each divide into 3 degrees, Bina, Zeran Bin, and Malchut, since there are Bina, Zeran Bin, and Malchut in the 22 letters in Bina. And so there are in the 22 in Zeran Bin and in the 22 in Malchut. It is so because the 22 letters themselves divide into 3 degrees, units, tens, and hundreds. The units from Aleph through Tet are the 9 Sefirot of Bina. The tens from Yud to Tzadi are the 9 Sefirot de Zeran Bin, and the hundreds are from Nukva. This is why there are only 4 letters, Kuf, Resh, Tav, and Malchut, since it occupies only for the Sefirot de Zeran Bin.
It's not that Zeran Bin is called this way, but that's how Malchut, that is clothed upon him, is called.
We need not ask why the units are in Nukva, tens are in Zeran Bin, and hundreds are in Ima, since there is always an inverse relation between the lights and the Kelim. In the Kelim,
because you can seemingly say that one letter in Bina equals 10 in Zeran Bin and 100 in Nukva. Okay? Maybe this will be easier to understand, that its intensity, its power. Or even one unit in the degree of Bina is like 10 units in Zeran Bin and like 100 units in Nukva.
In the Kelim, the upper ones comes first, and it is the opposite in the lights, the lower ones comes first. Thus, if there are only units of Kelim there from Aleph to Yud, there is only Malchut of lights there, and if the tens of the Kelim come as well, the light of Zeran Bin of lights comes too. And if the hundreds of the Kelim are completed to Kuf, Resh, Tav, the lights of Bina come, which are hundreds. For this reason, the hundreds are regarded as Bina, the tens as Zeran Bin, and the units as Malchut. Though with respect to the Kelim themselves, it is the opposite. The units are in Ima, the tens in Zeran Bin, and the hundreds in Nukva.
What are you looking at me? A few questions and ask.
It says here from Aleph to Tet, it's the Tet Sefirot of Bina, then it's the units, then the tens, then the hundreds. He's all the time talking about the Tet Sefirot. What is the Tet Sefirot?
I don't know. He doesn't say. That's what you're asking about? It's enough what he says. Is that the only thing you lack? He wants to emphasize that you have 10 Sefirot Bina besides her Malchut. Malchut is only a result of the first 9 Sefirot. The first 9 Sefirot are attributes. So there are 9 attributes in Bina, 9 attributes in Zeran Bin, but in Malchut there are only 4. All in all, you have 22 letters. And also there are mantapach that go down below the line of the letters, below the parasa, the 4 degrees of parasa, shorosh aleph gimel dalet. These are the mantapach, the final letters, the letters that end the words. And there are as if big, middle, and small letters in their qualities, but we don't emphasize it in the written text. If it's from Aleph to Tet, then these are the big letters, whereas from Yud to Tzadik, these are the middle letters, and Kuf, Resh, and Taf are small, and so on. There are many names and ways to call it, but all in all, there's also a question. If you're saying, what does it mean that the Creator is creating something by every letter and makes a certain imprint in the Malchut? How could that be? Because the lights are passing through all the letters to Malchut, right? So we'll see what happens here. How can that be that there is a certain order between these letters? How much they find their place in the letters, and the light that passes in certain combinatorics, in different combinations of letters, then you see that the light influences the Malchut differently by passing through different combinations of letters. That's something that is so simple, but on the other hand, so beneficial in its attributes, because the light influences the desire. But these things in the middle are the connectors.
What is the meaning sparks? What are these sparks? What does it mean?
Is there the interpretation of the words?
Yes, okay, please.
Page Taf Taf Kuf Pei Gimel.
So we are in page Taf Taf Kuf Nun Gimel. What are sparks? Item Samech Bet 62. Taf Taf Kuf Pei Gimel. Table of answers to the word Samech Bet. What are sparks? In the Reshimot which remain from the lights of Nikudim after their departure from the broken Kelim, they have two kinds of lights. One is the Bechina of their direct light, and it is called the pure light of the Reshimo. And the second,
and he rose to Atzilut after the breaking.
And the second is the Bechina of the reflected light, and it is called the coarse light of the Reshimo. Because like the generality of the lights which departed were included from direct light and reflected light, also the Reshimot which remain from them are also included from direct light and reflected light. And the pure light of the Reshimot are called lights, and they remained in Atzilut. And the coarse light of the Reshimot is called sparks, Nitzotzin, and they descended with the Kelim to Bia.
All right. Who asked? Yes, Zvika? Meaning, in short, there is a restriction. Then there is a screen. Then there is a returning light from the screen. And then in that, there is Aviyut, yes? Over the Aviyut, there is a first restriction. Then could be second restriction, doesn't matter, first restriction. Then over it, there's a screen, Masach. First restriction is only not to receive anything. The screen says, I'm willing to receive in order to bestow, in order to bestow back, in return. Now, to what extent bestow in return? The screen says, all that will come my way, nothing will go in. How much will go back? Well, that depends on the returning light, meaning over the restriction, over the rejecting it all, how much can I grab and enjoy? in order to delight you. This is called returning light. So from that part you have a spark. In short, once you wanted to do good to me, you did good, I enjoyed and you enjoyed, right? Afterwards, you're broke. You don't want to do good to me anymore, right? In what state is the spark in you now? Tell me, after such beautiful relationships we had, that you did all the nice, good things for me. Ah, I really enjoyed from you, and you enjoyed from delighting me, yeah? Pleasing me. Well, what now, after the breaking? Tell me, what do you feel towards me?
There is this memory, recollection,
which is even worse. It brings about hate in you towards me. How come I bestowed upon him? How much did I give to him?
So you invert it. So I have to invert it to
the broken nitzotzim.
But I have to invert it now, right?
Yes. This is called love cover all transgressions.
Now a question. So this is all in my reshimot or not?
What?
All these sparks.
The spark is in you.
Inside the reshimot.
Because of it you are here. Sitting here.
So because of the reshimot, there are sparks.
The nitzotz, the spark in itself is also a reshimot.
It's a part of the reshimot, yes?
Yes. It revives the... Another page or two, he'll speak about it.
So, everything is predetermined then, right?
Well, you start again with all this. Yes, yes.
That's the thing?
Yes. You have something for tomorrow that you want to constantly concern about. Stop concerning about it. Everything depends on the quantity of light you're calling upon right now. Everything depends on that. More light will come. The same deed will become positive for you. Less light would come towards you. The same deed would be negative for you. You see the spark evoking you once hate and once love. It depends which angle you are asking from. Depends from what angle the light shines upon it. If the light doesn't shine upon it, you feel hate towards me. I gave you, heard once, right, in life, I gave you everything, I invested all my life in you, and you're doing, you know, you're like this, like that, you heard it? Well, it seems. So, the same love now come with kind of with a demand, yeah? A broken demand, yeah? Meaning there is an anger, fury. Now, what are you usually doing? You're mitigating. You bring some light, pleasure, something, and then again you bring back this hatred towards, change it into love. Meaning you evoking some light. It's not just like some nice words or anything. You, by subjugating yourself and all kind of actions, you are really playing with the light. In each moment in our life, we also do so, we just don't know that. You are bringing the light and affect the someone who told you that I've devoted all my life to you, and you really doing the wrong way for me, yeah, right? And then after you bring the light, the state changes. This is how we are. These sparks, these nitzotzin awakening, succeeding by everyone. The hatred of Rabbi Shimon, when they coming. Where is it coming from? Also from the same sparks that awaken. And then it brings the light that reform, and it changes, inverts.
Meaning there are negative sparks, there are positive sparks, this is what it means? Or is it the three lines?
None. The same nitzotz turn positive by the light. This is what it means, that it the light that reforms.
It doesn't create a third force, those two sparks?
No, there's only one spark.
But it doesn't become into something that is called right, left, and middle, the same spark?
No. Wait one more page and we'll come to it.
It's a very complicated topic. Well, the sparks are made when a person reaches the quality of bestowal or before. And if it is before, then how does it happen all of a sudden?
When does it happen?
I'm asking a question. Whether the action itself, let's call it a physical action, the sparks themselves, does it happen in the process towards bestowal or once you have acquired the quality of bestowal? When are the sparks revealed?
Now too.
Even now in the time of preparation?
Because they're broken. The fact now you are here at 5 a.m., yes? Instead of doing like that for 12 hours consistently, right? It is because the spark awakens you and gets you out of bed and bring you here.
I know that you're saying reflected light and everything. You can do it only once you start working in bestowal. So what? It happens automatically? What should I do?
Nothing. The spark works on you.
Automatically? How so?
Because you are a result of the breaking of the vessels. Who are you? You call desire to receive, which has a spark in it. Over it the light shines, and you're in the system of the world. The light shines from far, from the world of Atzilut, over the spark that is within the desire to receive. And awaken this system of the desire to receive with a spark in it. If we just awaken desire to receive, people advance in an earthy fashion, all the 99%. If it awakened the desire to receive with the spark in it, as there's a spark in it, then that person starts longing for the purpose of creation.
And now confused, you said that everyone in the world has sparks. Some are awakened and some are not. This is what you just said.
The fact the spark isn't awakened, we're saying there is no spark.
But there is a spark.
All right, so what do you care about if it's everyone have a, of course, everyone was in the breaking.
So what should we do in order to cause that spark operate?
It's not up to you.
So, whom does it depend on? On the Creator?
On the light, of course. Listen, on who it depends that the person would be waking up or not? Only the light. Well, just like that, in the middle of life, someone wake up to reach the purpose of creation, anything exalted, or how come? Who is he? It's a piece of a desire to receive that. If the spark awakens in him, he starts thinking about the goal. If not, he doesn't think about anything. He thinks on how to fill up his desire to receive only and not the spark. What is the spark? The spark called the desire also. However, a desire coming from the light. Desire to bestow. However, now it is broken. So he wants to reach the light in order to enjoy the light. It is an additional desire, and that desire is more important, greater than the corporeal desire. Hence, those people are coming here at night, you see them. And sitting here, poor buggers, why? Because in each one there's a spark, and there is, and the light shines over them, hence they're here. That's it. They think that by that they can receive a fulfillment. Well, let them think. Just between us.
He writes here in the end that they have been in great, horrible torments for 400 years in Egypt. Does it seem to you that really
great, terrible torments have had to rise above the individual and general ego in the group in order to reach love between us? These are the sufferings, the torments of Egypt.
I'm asking myself, the
what are you laughing at?
Abraham.
What are you laughing at? Oh, he's enjoying me, okay.
When Abraham called these people outside of Babylon and opened his tent, he said, hey, look, we're going to come and represent God, but you should know that we're about to suffer great sufferings. What, do you think that someone would really, if they knew in advance that he's going to go through all these things that he's going to go through, the price would be worth it? I'm asking psychologically. Well, you're going right now to get some kind of blow. What, do you think he would agree to such a thing in advance?
In advance, no. But after preparations, yes. I
Without
see
even
you.
Attending anything.
I see you. A few years ago, you thought that in a month or two, you'll be on the horse. A year or two have passed. You thought that after a month or two, you'll at least be on the donkey. Today, I don't even know if you have any chance, any hope. I don't know what you're thinking, but there's no choice. Right? You're still young. Another month or two, a year or two, you'll start reaching a state that you don't want anything other than bestowing. Just like that, you'll be crazy. You'll be irrational, unreasonable. I want to bestow. Why? I don't know. I feel like it. I really do feel like it. The light comes, it shines, and I want it. And you won't be able to escape it to such an extent. And look at everyone here, and you'll see them as beautiful, as close, as loved by you, just like that. And then, same with the world, just as he's going to explain to us now about Rabbi Elazar. Yes.
I came to study Kabbalah because of the blows that I received, and I always think that, feel like, and hope that those blows will disappear. So I won't have suffering, that the bank manager there will tell me all of a sudden, you don't owe money.
Yes, we understand.
An overdraft and all that. So it will simply disappear. But it doesn't come that way.
Yes, yes, we understand.
But it's not exactly that way.
So it didn't work out that way. Someone's trying to confuse you with different assets. Sorry, they don't want to confuse you with assets and with the great jobs and things like that. Otherwise, you'd be addicted to your money, to your job, to everything. And what, then would we see you here? No.
So do you hold on to the on the path? How do you maintain
yourself? You're asking me?
How will you erase that minus in my in the bank? How will you
me?
Erase that deficit in the bank? Will you? I owe money in the bank. Can you talk to the Creator that He will erase the bank?
I don't know. My wife gets my salary. I have no idea about this.
So how do I get along onwards?
Pass on the salary to your wife and she'll deal with it. No, wait a minute. If we're already talking about the matter of life, this is what I make. Take everything. Seriously. Take everything. I don't want to know a thing. Anything. I live completely disconnected from all of that. I don't know how much money is even being transferred to her. I think brutto, it's 7 or something gross. It's 7,000 or something after, something like that. She tells me that after all the payments, she has nothing left because she helps the kids with things. That doesn't matter to me. That's what there is, that's it. Why would you go into all of these troubles? That's what I'm able to do. That's it.
Bala Sulam wrote, there's a piece there where he wrote, the beginner that starts to study Kabbalah, or in the middle, or towards the end, there's always an improvement. Everything he does, he will succeed. Everything, he'll see his haters, his lovers, he'll see his neighbors as successful. What, he won't find anything bad? What does he mean there? That's never clear to me every time I read this, and I don't see the change. I see that he's talking about completely different things, and I feel totally different.
I don't understand him. What is he saying?
Bala Sulam writes very clearly, someone who studies Kabbalah and advances. He says his haters will become his lovers. Everything he touches, he will succeed in. Wherever he turns around, he'll see everyone successful. He won't have any problems.
Of course that's how it is.
When
your desires, when your plans are exactly going with the plans of the Creator. Of course that's how it will be. But if they're opposite, then what do you want there to be? You're constantly in this collision with him. So how can you succeed? I succeed.
Because you're in the stall. So until we're in the stall, nothing will happen?
No, you can accept this thing and say, I want to see, from now and onwards, only see the Creator's point of view of the world. Meaning, seeing it from the point of view of bestowal. And that's it. Start getting used to that. And you'll see how the whole world suddenly becomes good. You'll discover this world as the world of Ein Sof. As the world of Ein Sof. Nothing would, you'll have no problem with it. This is what is in front of you. The fact that you see it corrupted this world. Everyone is horrible, terrible, and that's you in with your eyes seeing Ein Sof.
No.
Well, and what do you want? You want the Creator to change, not you, but to change what you visually see.
The picture you see.
Yeah, the picture you see, exactly. So that you cannot change, that is the upper light in front of you. We've learned this in perception of reality. You can only change your inner desires.
Meaning until I'm truly in bestowal, there's no chance that my deficit in the bank will be end?
No. You might still have that minus after that as well.
It could be also after that?
Yes, it's a ladder of degrees. You don't just jump to Ein Sof. In this ladder of degrees, you also have states which are unpleasant. But that's for the general, for the public. There are other calculations. There's you and the masses and the group. There are cases. And therefore we see the righteous that seemingly suffer. Look how Rabbi Akiva ended up. Yes.
Look, the Kabbalah is...
Look, you can't be instead of those people that are in bestowal, and you see them from the side. You see how they're suffering, and they're ill, and what they're going through. You cannot understand the inner world of a man. He might seem that love and good attitude of the Creator. Who knows? You see it through your point of view, and he sees it from his point of view. Read the article, Revelation and Concealment of the Creator. You should repeat all these things.
You know, Kabbalah is like you're running 100 kilometers. Let's say you have a beginning point and an end point. Even when I reach 800 kilometers, you still don't see any change. Meaning it's truly contradictory to anything that you do in this world. You know that if you do something here, you see something.
True.
And in the spiritual world, you don't see anything. Meaning until you cross the line,
it's true. There is no portion in spirituality.
That's not clear, it doesn't matter. Can you open that for me?
In this world, there is the matter of waves and the matter of particles. So there are waves and there are particles. There, in an atom everywhere, you have the degrees of energy. Like with a laser. You have to keep on giving energy and then it just jumps out to a different level. You always have these portions. This stems from the four stages of direct light. And it can't be the way you're saying it, no. There is always defined portions in every single thing. You can't measure something in a linear manner. You can't go down to these numbers. You always measure it between one defined point and another defined point, discrete. And that's the same as with the Sefirot. And that's why you say that to the extent I advance in the road, I advance. What are you advancing? If you advance in the road, you don't see any changes. You see changes from one station to the next. That's how you're structured. So in short, all of our perception in this world and also in the spiritual world is the perception of graduality, of stages. That's it. I also don't understand the claims. The moment I learn nature and I see that it's all above me and I'm below, even though I jump like a little boy, that I don't want it, you know, it won't help. I need to learn the laws and to use them. What will it help you just to cry out? For who? For what? He's playing with you. He's letting you get angry at him so you'll understand how silly you are. So enough, that's it. Come on, what's happening here? We're done.
So where's the penny plus penny that becomes a big sum? Where is that? What, is he not giving the 100 kilometers? What is he giving to me later? What is he keeping it for? Let him give a calculation before the finish line.
Okay, for today, that's it. We're done. A penny and a penny adds up to a great sum. You don't feel the penny. If you would feel these pennies, you would have great patience. You wouldn't tarry. You would, you know, yes, thank God, I'm making these pennies. That's not good. The fact that you feel that time is passing and you have nothing, that is great salvation. That's a gift. Otherwise, we would remain.